If you'd like to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in the third chapter, it is here that as Paul describes the mystery that has been revealed unto him and how that the Lord has revealed unto him this revelation, that those in Ephesus could read and they could understand and know the will of God. And he expresses in this passage in verse 9 of Ephesians 3, the manifold wisdom of God and how that he has revealed himself in the majesty of the church of our Lord. When it says that to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. What Paul is saying is that the Lord has always intended and always has revealed his will unto men and the plan and the fashion of how he has wanted man to worship. Even from the Old Testament and the design of the tabernacle and all the things that are inscribed there, the Lord has always given instructions about how to bring all these things about. But particularly in this passage, he is directing attention toward the church, of which you and I are a part of, and that he says that it is intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known what we do here as a local congregation of God's people, in the broad sense, of course, in the church itself established on Jesus Christ and his blood. It is through this agency of the church and the body of Christ that we find the wisdom of God. And when you look at the church and God's design of it, it is like in creation. It is a sense of perfection. And when we follow the pattern that is given in Scripture, we find that there is an ideal pattern to follow. And this past month, we have been spending some time seeking the pattern that God has established and the leadership of the local congregation, the leadership of the church. And in the fashion, as in the book of Acts, in the 14th chapter, in verse 21, when we find here the Apostle Paul is in his missionary journeys, and he is engaged in preaching and teaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 14, it says in verse 21 that when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, that they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying that we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23 particularly, when it says that, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had delivered. So we find that in the pattern of the New Testament church and in other places, the Apostle Paul went about with others as they were establishing churches to ordain and appoint these elders. And this was an integral part of the work that was being engaged in. We know that, of course, that as Paul writes to Timothy and Titus, that he talks about the kind of men and women that this role is going to fulfill, the men in their leadership role of being the bishops, of being the pastors, of being the shepherds of the flock and their wives and their families and all that is involved in that. And we have spent some time this past month engaging in conversation about the qualities of these kinds of men as being leaders of the local congregation, as those who serve as shepherding in the local congregation, and of those, of course, who put forth the example and the influence to guide God's people. And then back in the book of Acts, in the 20th chapter, the Apostle Paul, knowing that he would not see these men again, had bid that the shepherds from Ephesus, or the elders from Ephesus, come and spend some time with him. He had spent 3 years there, and it seems, of course, having a very close relationship with these men, had asked that they come and meet him in Miletus. And a great dissertation is given here, a great sense, a great an image that Paul is engaged with these men that he had such a close relationship with. But some of the things that he says to them to exhort them is in verse 27, when he says that I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, that you take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock also from among yourselves. men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So Paul exhorting the elders and telling them that the work in which he was engaged in as an evangelist was a very integral part of the work and helping establish elderships, and particularly engaged with these men at Ephesus, and reminding them of their role of shepherds, of those who need to take heed to themselves. And recognizing that as we talk about these men this month, and as we communicate the various attributes of these kinds of men, that there is always the heed of warning giving to themselves individually, and trying to impress upon all of us the seriousness of the task as they will give an account of this role in which they engage, but also to take heed to the flock. As shepherds, that their responsibility is to, from John 10, to know the flock, to feed the flock, to guide the flock, and instruct the flock. To be responsible for these sheep that belong to God, you know, even as an eldership. The responsibility that elders have is that they are to care for the sheep of God, the flock of God, because we all belong to God. God has entrusted to the to men that these qualities of men that are given, that they are to take heed unto this flock, because he says the Holy Spirit has given you the responsibility to see over the work. The Holy Spirit is one that blesses and guides this this work of overseeing and looking after the affairs of the flock, as to looking out for their souls. And again, to give the pastoral sense, to shepherd the flock of God. Psalm 23 talks about how that Jehovah God is our shepherd. But he is a shepherd who takes the sheep to still waters. He understands the relationship of the sheep, that they cannot be in a place that there is rushing water. He takes them to green pastures to feed them. He binds their wounds. He, like the shepherd, will go even though there's 99 and find the one. The shepherd have that comfort, and this idea that Paul gives of shepherding the church of God is that pastoral care that these men give of the church. And then finally, it is the realization that all of this is found in the understanding that this congregation here at Trenton, as with all others, that this represents something that was purchased by the very blood of Jesus. Ken, so eloquently a moment ago, spoke of how much God loved us, the why question. That he loved us enough, and that the measure of that gift was that he gave us his son. And in that giving, he has given his son, and that his son was willing to shed his blood. The commemoration of the Lord's Supper is the remembrance of the fact that Jesus died and shed his blood. You didn't, and I didn't. He did. And that this is a body of people, that this is a group of people, that the care and the admonition of is given because we are blood-bought people of God. And so we are going through this process, and as we find in the book of Acts when it says that he appointed elders, there's not exactly a scripted way of doing this, and it is a manner in which we find is left to the purview of the congregation, and we believe that it needs to be something that is in a serious tone, and recognizing the gravity of what this day means. And what a wonderful day this is. What a wonderful day personally for me it is to be involved in helping to ordain men to be elders, because the church, in order to be complete and to be what God wants it to be, is one that is filled with men who are dedicated to the desire of guiding and instructing and helping all of us in our spiritual journey towards heaven. And that what we engage in today is one of the greatest things that you will ever be a part of, one of the greatest things that you will ever witness, simply because it is the pattern of God given by the manifold wisdom of God to show his power, his wisdom. And what we do today is not really about these three men. What we do today is not about us. What we do today is for the glory of Jehovah God and the plan and the pattern that he has given. If you'd bow with me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, indeed how glorious you are and how holy you are. We're thankful, Father, for Brother Maydell of reminding us of your holiness and how that you want us to be holy as being your people. We are thankful, Father, for your manifold wisdom, for your wonderful wisdom, for your awesome power. And Father, as we stand in awe at the things that you have given us, and as we follow that pattern, a divine pattern sealed through the centuries, Father, by your eternal hand, that when we look into your word and we try to find how to walk, Father, and how to follow your pattern, that what a beauty it is as we look at the design that you have given even in the church and the leadership and the role of shepherding. And we pray your blessings upon the efforts that this congregation puts forth, and especially this day as we are ordaining elders, Father, to compliment the elders that we have. We're thankful for the pattern that you have given. We're thankful for the guidance that you give us in your word that helps us to know how to do this, Father, and just to look and think how wonderful it is to share in the fellowship of your wisdom. We are thankful, Father, for the strength of this congregation as they have come together, as we have shared together in these past few months, this work of and continuing to grow and increase in our understanding of thy will. We're thankful, Father, for each one that represents this congregation, for their love for you and for the love of the work that is being engaged in this place. We're thankful, Father, for the elders that we have that have guided and shepherded us, Father, and we pray that as we ordain men today, that this will continue to help the congregation grow in spirit and number, and that your blessings, Father, will be upon these men as they shepherd us, as they guide us, that you will bless their lives, that you will bless their minds and their hearts with courage and faith to stand, Father, when often it is difficult to stand, but to enjoy the blessings, Father, of your wisdom as they seek your guidance in guiding the flock here. And for their families, Father, to support them and to guide them and to help them to be who they are. We're thankful for them. And we're thankful, Father, for Jesus Christ, because of his blood that we can enjoy this fellowship together, and because of his love for us, we can have the hope of heaven. Thank you, Father. We love you so much, and we know that you love us as evidenced by your Son and by all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our King, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Along with Alan and Dad, I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. We have quite a few visitors with us this morning, and we are thankful for your presence and I'm glad that you are here with us. As Dad has just mentioned, this is we have been seeking to look amongst ourselves for the last at least month, or really longer than that, to seek additional men to appoint to the service of shepherds. And when we look to God's Word, it is very clear from His pattern, His will, that this is something that He has designed and He has established. It is also very clear from Scripture that part of the work of the evangelists, from the example of Paul and Barnabas and the instructions given to Timothy and to Titus, that this work is to be done. What isn't clear, as just mentioned ago, is what process they went about in doing in this. And some of that has left been, through God's wisdom, has been left to the discretion of men. And we want to make it clear, especially to our visitors this morning, and to this family here, that this is a process that we have, the current elders, along with these three men, Dad and myself, have spent a lot of time talking about, praying about, thinking about, to make sure this process is one that is given the proper attention, and the emphasis, and the reverence that we believe it should. It's not meant, as Dad just mentioned, to be ceremonial in its nature, that we are really about these three men, but as we spent the last month talking about the magnitude of the promises that these three men are going to be making to God and to us as the congregation, and the magnitude and responsibilities that we as a congregation are also going to be making to God this morning and to these men and to our current shepherds, this is something that is not to be taken lightly. And so we want to make that clear this morning. We've strived to give it the needed concern and the care and attention that we believe it deserves, and so from this process, as we have announced, we announced on June 16th, three men have emerged and have come forward seeking to serve this congregation in the service of an overseer, shepherd, or elder. And those three men are Ken Anguish, Daryl Smith, and Randy Rutter. I could spend a lot of time this morning talking about each of these men, talking about their families, their characteristics, their backgrounds. But I felt that being the congregation that we have here and the closeness that I feel, being that we have been provided by our shepherds ample time to discuss these things with these men, with their families, and with our current shepherds, and the fact that we have reached the point that we're at, I think that they are well known amongst us all, and it shows of their character that we are at this point today. This morning, I would ask that these three men stand with me at the front here, as we're going to ask these three men a series of questions as a congregation concerning their commitment to this leadership role. And at the end of these questions, we're going to ask for each of their answers independently. If you would, please go ahead and stand. We ask you today, do you accept this rule of service free of any coercion? Do you agree to oversee the flock of God which he obtained with his own blood? Do you promise to take this oversight, not as a lord over God's people, but with the care and the compassion of a shepherd? Do you promise to be an example to the flock both internally and externally? Do you promise to feed the flock of God, to protect us from the dangers of falsehood, from false teaching, and to care for us without partiality? Do you promise to watch out for our souls as faithful shepherds, knowing that someday you will give an account to God for the work that you do? And do you promise these things in the presence of this church family, and the presence of the chief shepherd? Ken, how do you respond to these questions? He says, I agree to these promises. Randy, how do you answer to these questions?
I do.
He says, I do. And Daryl? He says, I do promise these things. And now let me speak to you as a congregation, as this church family. Because again, as we have studied, we have a side to this relationship. As we have spent time studying, we have responsibilities in this work as well. Being that as of today, no objections to these men serving in this role have been brought to them individually or to the current shepherds, we as a congregation are now going to make promises to these men. And we're going to pray together to God. And we're going to pray to God, affirming to him our commitment to these promises. And I'll encourage everyone, particularly in this church family, to pray with me. And we would ask that the men affirm this commitment by verbally or silently, however you decide, by saying amen with me and the current shepherds, which will express our agreement before God and to these men of these promises. So we now speak to Ken, Randy, and Daryl. On the basis of the commitment that you have just made to us, we as a congregation make these promises to you. As you lead scripturally with gentleness and patience, we promise to follow. As you rule with wisdom and compassion and love, we promise to submit and obey. As you set an example of godly living, we promise to imitate. As you feed us the pure word of God, we promise to learn. And as you watch for our souls, we promise to cooperate by being at peace amongst ourselves and by living godly lives. I would now ask that everyone pray with me. And again, to affirm these promises, I would ask that the men say amen with me and the current shepherds as a commitment to the promises that we have made to these men and we will make to God. If you would, bow with me. Our God and our Father, we are thankful this morning for the many blessings that you constantly bless us with. We are here this morning collectively worshiping you, giving you the praise and the honor that is due you. We're thankful for being able to be called your children and your flock. As you have just heard our brothers Ken, Randy, and Daryl speak, they have made promises to you and to us, expressing their commitment to guide, protect, love, and care for your flock. And we understand, Father, that it is your flock. We are your people. And we are to be set apart and holy, as we learned about this morning, as Father, you are holy. We also want to affirm to you, Father, this morning as a congregation, our promises which we have made to them in return. As they lead us in accordance with your word and your will, we promise to follow. As they rule with wisdom that comes from you and compassion, much like that of your Son, we promise to submit and obey. As they set us examples in your way of godly living, we promise to be imitators of that way. And as they feed us with your word and provide us the instruction and the opportunities to be fed, we promise to never be satisfied and to learn and to always be growing in knowledge and in faith. As they watch over our souls, of which they will give an account, we promise to cooperate by being at peace amongst ourselves and by living godly lives. Father, we recognize you as the authority, and we recognize the authority that they are to exercise over this flock is for the betterment of your people and this flock. We recognize this morning that we will all give an account for our lives, our actions, and we will give an account to you, Father, for how we treat, listen, cooperate, and submit, and work with these shepherds here in this congregation. Father, we pray for your blessings, your wisdom, your strength, and your courage to be upon these men, to be upon their families as they support them, as they begin shepherding us on this day. May your strength and blessings sustain us all here at this congregation as we all serve under the chief shepherd, your Son, Jesus the Christ. And we offer these promises and this prayer through his name. Amen. As now shepherds of this flock, we continue to pray for you and with you, and we look forward to working with each of you in God's kingdom. And we would invite each of you to address the congregation now.
I'd like to just take a moment this morning, just express my gratitude for the elders, for Kent, Everett, for all the work that they've done, putting forth the effort and teaching this congregation in the last month, what's expected of each one of us. We know that this isn't something that we as elders can do alone, and we hope that each one of you will support us in our efforts. I'm grateful that this congregation has elders. This is one of the few in this area that has them, and it's important that we are established and we set examples to other congregations and to this community of what's expected of us as Christians. I want to take a moment and just express my appreciation to each one of you that have come and given me support. Your verbal encouragement, it has just meant so much to me, and I appreciate it so much. As we move forward, it is my desire to assist the current eldership and provide for the spiritual needs of this congregation. I believe a few of the traits of these men and of this congregation to be of love, compassion, and commitment. These are the attributes that I would encourage each of us to work on and to grow. The psalmist writes in Psalm 33, verses 13 through 15, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works." I believe there is a work for each one of us, and I encourage you to consider these words as you consider how he's fashioning your hearts in considering your works. We cannot do this alone, and I and these other men will rely upon you for your assistance and commitments as we work here in Trenton. I ask that you pray for this congregation as a whole and for each individual member. I thank God that we have the opportunity to serve him. I will trust in him and put my faith in him. I ask that you continue to pray for me and pray for my family as we take forward this role and this leadership. Thank you for your love and thank you for your confidence.
I'd like to begin by thanking all of those who have offered words of encouragement and support to Karen and I these last few weeks. It really means a lot to us, and we promise to do our very best to confirm the confidence that you have shown in us. The relationship between a shepherd and his flock should be a close one, and the promises that we all have made this morning reminds us of the commitment needed to make that relationship grow as God intended. This relationship is built on love. Love for God, love for Christ, love for his church, and love for one another. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul wrote, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. I think I can speak for all the elders when I say that love is the reason for accepting this position of service in the kingdom. We love this congregation, and we want to do everything we can to protect it and to help it grow. The shepherd's goal will always be that not one sheep will be lost, and that when we come to the end of our journey here on earth, that we all can say what Paul said: "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." A crown of righteousness, life eternal, heaven. That's what we are all striving for. Let's all work together to reach that goal. Thank you again for your love and support, and please keep us in your prayers as we begin this new work in the kingdom together.
Well, let me just begin by thanking you for allowing me and these other men and our families, as they support us, to serve our God and to serve each one of you. And as the Ken and Randy have mentioned, to thank you for the many words of encouragement and the prayers that you have offered for us over this last month. And I am thankful for each of you, for this congregation, for the many good examples that we have here. Many of you have offered this example for many years and really have built this congregation and kept it where we are today. And for the many young people that we have, we are so thankful for, and the encouragement that you provide to us every time we see that smiling face. And for those of you that have served in the past and now serve now, I am thankful, and I look forward to, along with these other men, serving with you for this congregation. Just a word regarding my family. We have spent many conversations and prayer thinking about serving in this way. And I'll just tell you, one of the challenges with this is knowing that we, as you all know, and God certainly knows, we're not perfect and we fall short. But we are committed to striving to do what is right and to serve more and be more like our Savior. And I think of a song that is one of my more favorite, I guess, favorite songs is It's Just for Today by the song of the group Narrow Way. And it basically goes something like this. Father God, just for today, help me to walk your narrow way. And later in the song, it basically says, may my steps be worship, my thoughts be praise, and my words bring honor to your name. And then I think of, as Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which is Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And may we together press on. May we grow in our faith, in our commitment to God, in our love for God, to one another, and even for those that do not deserve our love. May we always strive to be more like our Savior. And as our brother Les this morning discussed, may we always strive to be more holy, and may we honor and glorify our God. Thank you. Thank you.